You are listening to Faith Church's sermon from this week. We are a church that is committed to loving Jesus for life and loving others to life. We hope that this message encourages you to follow Jesus with your whole heart.
We've been doing this thing called praying congregational prayer for loving Jesus with all of our life and our heart and our minds. And then we've also been doing loving people onto Jesus. And so today we're going to change it up a little bit. And one of the things that we often have to do as the body of Christ is to repent of those times when we maybe haven't loved Jesus with all of our hearts. And there's two quotes that I found from Bill Rydell that I really felt like really spoke to my heart this past week. And here's the two. The first one is this: as people humbly bear with love and forgive one another as Christ has forgiven them, a powerful apologetic for the gospel shines bright for the world to see. And so as we look at this, we need to pray for our repentance of how we have not done the mission of God, but we also need to pray for repentance of how we've maybe not loved one another like we should have at times. And so we want to definitely do that. And then second of all, this one kind of spoke to me in my, if my thing would go the right way here. Pastors are not mini saviors. My iPad decided to go into Fritz. I'll just read it from here. Pastors are not mini saviors. We are fellow members of the church. And so that is so important. We struggle. We make decisions that aren't honoring to God too. And so one of the things that I've been very passionate about in my 20 years of being a pastor is that I'm a human being, just like you. I get up in the morning, put my socks and shoes on, just like you. God doesn't dress me in the morning. I don't have a red phone in my bedroom that says this is the one I call when I'm in trouble to God. I don't have any kind of specialty that gives me anything other than the fact that I have pastor in front of my name, and that's a privilege that God can take away very quickly if he decides. And so we want to keep that in our perspective as we go forward here, as we look at this refocus, as we focus on what is the mission of the church. The mission of the church is not developed around the pastor. The mission of the church is developed around God, and God needs to be at the forefront. And so today, I just want you to take some time. We're not going to have communion, so this isn't in preparation of taking the Lord's Supper. This is just simply a time where I've felt this past week the Lord saying to me, hey, it's time to swallow some pride and look at your heart and go to the mirror and say, hey, listen, here's where it's at and here's what God's doing. And either I'm going to be a part of that or I'm going to be a part of not doing that. And so we need to repent of those times when we've chosen to not do that. We've caused dissension or we've caused whatever instead of loving one another with our hearts and our souls and allowing God to do the work. And we've tried to make the work happen. I can tell you plenty of times when Michelle and I were going through the adoption process, we tried to get something to happen. And it was always frustrating. It became divisive. But when we said to God, God, here it is. Whatever happens, you take the wheel. Things started to move in the right direction and the Lord moved. And so I use that as an example to all of you, that when we try to get something to happen, it's never going to happen. It's going to be frustrating. It's going to be upsetting. But when we allow God to do the work, the Lord will do it greatly. So I'll ask you to pray quietly to the Lord as you think of those things that you need to repent of, and I have plenty on my own list. And then I'll pray out loud as you pray silently to the Lord for your heart to be open to what the Lord wants for you to grasp for this entire time of really focusing on the mission of the church universally. Let's pray together. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to really seriously look at you in the mirror and say, Lord, as we just sang, without your forgiveness, we cannot offer forgiveness. Without your forgiveness for us, we can't, with your forgiveness for us, we then can't pick up that stone that was talked about in John chapter 8. Lord, we can't because you forgave us even when we were at our worst. And so we're so thankful for that fact today, Lord. And we're thankful for each family member and friend that is here today of Faith Church. We're thankful for each and every one of them in a powerful way. We ask you, Lord, to allow them to look into their mirrors as well and to say, Lord, here's where we need to grow. And so, Lord, this isn't a downing thing. This is a praise to the Lord because you're beginning to stir up spirits. You're beginning to stir up the heart of people. And I ask you, Lord, to continue to do that work. Amen. Today. That, Lord, you may just get all the power and the praise. You would give us strength in this battle of looking at this mission. We look outside these windows. We go out on the front porch of the church, and we see a world that so desperately needs the hope that we have. But, Lord, we also say, how do we do it? And then, Lord, we remember your words thousands and thousands of years ago, Lord. The fields are ripe unto harvest. The workers are few. The harvest needs to be brought in. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to look at this mission, look at loving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, not loving people with all of our heart, soul, and mind, loving you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And then, Lord, loving others like you loved us, forgiving and being able to minister to one another. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that's represented here today, Lord. You know their hearts better than I could ever even imagine to know them. Lord, you are the good shepherd. You are the perfect shepherd. You are the one that never, never, ever leaves us go. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to focus on that this morning as we worship you, Lord. As we continue this Bible series that we're in, that we may look at this subject that we're looking at today, Lord, and that you may just open our eyes to what maybe we are missing in all of this. And Lord, that you would just allow us to go out of here different than we walked in this morning. I do, Lord, want to pause and pray for Marlon and Ruth, and that, Lord, you would give the doctors wisdom in this situation. That, Lord, even now you would allow Marlon and Ruth to know that we as the body of Christ here at Faith Church are taking time out of the service to pray for them. Supernaturally, Lord, may you allow the Holy Spirit to move in that hospital room. May you give the doctors wisdom. May you give the doctors strength. May you allow Ruth and Marlon to feel your peace at this moment. And Lord, I do pray boldly that you would take this dizziness away from Marlon, and that, Lord, you would just allow everything to straighten out, and that he would be able to come home and give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for what you did this day in his life. And we'll be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for all that you give to us, Lord. That you would just, again, that we would just focus on you. Lord, Peter began to sink when he didn't focus on you. Jonah tried to run away when he didn't focus on you. All these things happened, and we look at them as examples. But may we remember them, and may we be challenged by them, and may we just remember that we need to keep our eyes on the Savior and on what you want for us as the body of Christ corporately and as individuals. And may we be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. And now, Lord, may you bless both the gift and the giver this morning as we're about to collect today's tithes and offerings. May you use these gifts to extend the good news of Jesus Christ to Temple and Muhlenberg and beyond, Lord, that you may just allow us to reach people for you. And may we be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, Lord. We ask you to bless both the gift and the giver this morning. For it's in your name we pray this all. Amen. The ushers may come forward at this time. As today's offering is collected and the ushers leave with the offering plates, there will be a video up on the screens for you to watch about today's subject in the sermon this morning.
To me, worship is breathing.
To me, worship is a lifestyle.
Anything we do that says to God, you are God.
Worship is what you do when you go out into the community, when you're around your friends.
Me wanting to be what he wants me to be.
Adoration.
Aside from prayer, worship is my high-speed connection to God.
Worship is about our heart when we bring it to him.
When I'm truly worshiping, my heart is overcome with thankfulness.
I am vulnerable.
I'm completely engulfed. I'm completely in tune to God.
You're just speaking to God, but the lyrics, the words, and God speaks back to you.
I want it to be from me.
I want to abandon all modesty and just worship my God.
God can have a personal experience and worship with everyone in that room.
And so it's almost like a conversation with God, almost a prayer.
When I worship, I want God to be magnified.
When I worship, I want God to be pleased.
I want God to be front and center.
I want God to laugh with me.
I want God to be happy.
When I worship, I want God to be lifted up.
I want there to be a knowing that Crystal came and she brought all of her and she was sincere.
I want him to be exalted.
I want him to be in the spotlight. I want him to be the focus. I want him to have the rightful place that only he deserves in my life.
When I worship, I want God to be my friend.
And I want him to know how thankful and grateful I am for all the things that he's done for me.
I want him to feel the joy that is in my heart because I'm so grateful to him.
Because he sent his son to die for me.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, all godly heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Those age 4 through grade 4 are dismissed to go out with Miss Kim. She's waiting for you at the back door if you would like to meet her there. This morning we continue with our sermon series, More Than Words. The scriptures are more than words. They are not just words to learn, they are words to live by. They are powerful words. In Hebrews 4:12, we're told that the word is active and cuts like a sword, a double-edged sword, cutting through bone, marrow, and heart, and getting to the issues in our lives. And so we want to take some time and look at what the Bible says about certain things. Now, you've had the opportunity, and you continue to have the opportunity. In your bulletin, there's a little piece of paper that has a picture of what's on the screen currently, and you can write on that piece of paper if you have a subject that you would like to be dealt with from the pulpit of Faith Church. You can just write it on there, drop it in your pews. I'll pick it up later, and I promise you in the next few weeks we will get to most likely all of them, and one of them was about worship. What is worship? How do we do worship? Why do we do worship? All these things that come into play. So we're going to take a few weeks to look at worship and what it and all the aspects of what worship looks like. The subject we are dealing with today as worship has been reasons for so many arguments in churches. The reality is, if we truthfully understood this subject, we would without a doubt be more in tune with the Lord in our lives. Today we start to look at what the Bible says about this subject of worship. Let's look at some facts about worship on the next screen. Worship appears in the Bible 8,629 times. 8,629 times worship is mentioned. That says to me it's a pretty important topic, right? 8,629 times the authors of Scripture mention it. And yet, we find ourselves divided over it in so many ways. Not here necessarily, but in the bigger church. George Barna surveyed thousands of church-going Christians. The question was asked, have you ever experienced God in a worship service? Only 1/3 said that they regularly experience God in church. Thousands. William Hendricks' book, Exit Interviews, is about why today's generation is leaving the church faster than they're coming in. He summarizes the views of many worship dropouts when he says these words on page 260 of that book. Perhaps the most common complaint was that worship services were boring. It was not just that these gatherings were not interesting, they were not worshipful. They did little to help people meet God. Sally Morgenthaler, writing in Worship Evangelism, says these words, and if Pastor Tim was here, he'd be very happy I'm quoting this because he makes us read this in seminary. When worship service that are not worshipful, people not meeting God, people not being allowed to participate in a worship relationship with God, it is as if the very essence of worship has been quietly removed. The most significant benefit of a worship service is connecting with God. It does not matter how chatty and interesting the celebrity interviews, how captivating the drama, how stunning the soloist, or how relevant the message. When personal interaction with God is absent, church loses much of its appeal. So I ask you this. Don't answer this out loud. When was the last time you experienced the presence of God, the presence of God in a worship service? True, life-changing encounters with the living God are missing a lot. One of the greatest needs among churches today is not new programs. It's really not even a new seminar. That's why I love what we're doing. Or a new study. It's not a new seminar. It's getting back to the basics. What is needed today is to an encounter with God. How do we encounter God? We encounter God by going back to Acts chapter 2. We're not going to be there this morning. But we go encounter him by going back and seeing what exactly did he do in that very first church. And that's why I appreciate what we're doing with Refocus. We desperately need a life-changing glimpse of the greatness, the awesomeness, the wonder, the power, the mercy, the goodness, and the loving kindness of God himself. We need it. Our generation needs it. Our world needs it. Everyone needs it. There are too many people out there picking apart what God says about certain subjects and not understanding his loving kindness all the while. Not understanding his wonder and his greatness. But we're picking apart little pieces of what they believe God believes instead of looking at him for his whole person. So what is worship? That leads us to the next question. It's on the screen. What is worship? Is it just Sunday morning? Is it just today? Or is it every day? What does worship mean? When you mention the word worship, it conjures us all kinds of images in people's minds. Simply stated, worship is declaring the worth of God. So here's what the word worship comes from. It'll be on the screen this morning. The old English word equals worth-ship. With that definition in mind, we don't worship God for what we get out of God, but to give God the honor that is due him, recognizing his worth, his value, his place in our church, and his claim on our lives. Worship is not therefore a weekly pep talk or to rally the troops and win the contest. Worship is not a motivational seminar to make us feel good about ourselves. Worship is not the Christian alternative to a Saturday night rock concert or a Beethoven symphony. Worship occurs when people encounter God who loves them and desires a relationship with them. Robert Weber, in his book, Worship Old and New, says it succinctly that worship is a meeting between God and his people. Worship does not lead to an encounter with God. It is an encounter with God. Catch the difference? This doesn't lead to an encounter with God. This is an encounter with God. When we worship God, whether on our own or in church, we come with an agenda to meet God. That's the only agenda that it should be. And as important as that is, we need to remember that God has an agenda as well. And that is this: to meet with you. Those are the two agendas. No other ones. If worship is about encountering the presence of God, a simple question is raised. And here's the question: isn't God's presence always with us? So then why is worship about encountering God? Here's what it leads us to: a couple of realities about God's presence. Here's some realities about God's presence. First, we look at the reality of God's omnipresence. The reality of God's omnipresence. Of course, God always is with us. If I go up to the heavens, he says in Psalm 139, 8, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. This is the reality of God's omnipresence. We cannot escape the presence of God. Sometimes we are blind to it, but never for a minute think that God's presence is not with us. No, Jonah earned this, learned this lesson the very much hard way. You know, he's told to go reach these people. Well, those people are just a bunch of sinners, and they're never going to come and know. And then they do come to know, and he's like, oh my gosh, the world, what in the world's happening? But he runs away because he doesn't want that mission. He doesn't want to do the work. He doesn't want to do the ministry because those people don't deserve this ministry, God. And so he runs away from them, and he tries to get away from his presence. And what he finds out is you can't. God doesn't play hide and go seek real well. He kind of doesn't play it at all. Seems there. God promised Moses in Exodus chapter 33 this thing. He said, my presence will go with you. It seems there may be a manifestation of presence in worship that is specific to worship. Here's what I'm talking about. Here's what we're going to throw up on the screen. Matthew 18:20 is the first scripture passage, I think. Here we go, Matthew 18:20. Here's what it says. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them. Now that seems to contradict the next scripture passage. And remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age, Matthew 28:20. Why would Jesus promise to be present conditionally when two or three are present in my name if he also promises to be with us always under every circumstance? The only logical explanation after some study is that Jesus is speaking about a different kind of presence in the first passage, something more than just God's omnipresence. And so what Jesus is saying in that first passage, I don't have Matthew 28:20 on the screen, sorry, there we go. What he's saying in that first passage is that there's something special about when two or three gather together in my name. My presence shows up in a way that is unlike the way that is there all the time. Do you realize that? That his presence is here in a way that is unlike when you walk out of here and you are by yourself. There's something more powerful about it. In the words in the Greek, according to the commentaries, is there is something more powerful in the presence of two or three where two or three of us get together and we agree in Jesus' name, something happens that's different than if you're at my house or if I'm at my house all by myself in my little basement saying a prayer and agreeing with God's name. There's something different there. Let's take a look at the following reality, the second reality, the reality of God's revealed presence. The revealed presence of God, an unusual revelation of God's essence in a certain location. Old Testament scholar Terence, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name, calls it God's tabernacle presence. Some refer to it as God's manifest presence. In corporate worship, God desires to remove our blindfolds and give us an extraordinary, breathtaking glimpse of divine radiance. That's what he desires. He desires to take everything off that we came in with this morning. The blindfolds of frustrations, the blindfolds of hurts, the blindfolds of whatever it might be. He wants to remove those blindfolds so you can experience him in a new and a fresh way. Here's the problem. Some of us just keep tying the knot. I'm not going to get over it. I'm not going to see you here because you can't be here. God says, would you just drop the blindfolds? Would you just look at me for who I am? Would you just take that off? Would you just stop and listen? We see it happen in Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. Records an example of both God's omnipresence and God's revealed presence. So here, I want to just give you some background, then we'll get into the scripture passage. Jesus was there, omnipresence, in the midst of this crowd that had come to hear him teach. But notice, I want you to notice something in Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It should be on the screen. And the Lord's power to heal was in him. The NIV translates it this way, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. You see, Luke recognized something different. So for those who say, well, there's no difference in his presence, well, Luke seems to think so. Yes, Jesus was present. He was physically there. He was speaking with them. But Luke noticed something more, something different about Jesus. He noticed a power in Jesus, a manifested presence that was in attendance too. God's revealed presence was there too. And it was God's revealed presence that healed the paralytic that day, that brought Jesus to him that day. And it was his revealed presence that caused everyone to be astounded. In verse 26, it says they were astounded and they were giving glory to God and they were filled with awe and said, we have seen incredible things today. There it is. The Gospel of Luke brings it out beautifully. Jesus shows up. Of course he's there. He's omnipresent. He's always there. He shows up. He's teaching them. But Luke catches on to something in verse 17. And the scholars are like all over this in their studies. And he's saying to them, listen, Luke. Luke's saying to them, Luke, a physician, is saying to them, there was something more there. It wasn't just Jesus teaching a crowd. There was something inside of him that day. There was a power that I have never seen before, Luke is saying. And so this is the tabernacle presence. This is the power of God in Luke, or in Jesus. And Luke is picking up on it. And he says, because that power of God was there, this paralytic walks up. No, doesn't walk up, but he comes up and he gets healed and he walks out. And because of that power, because of that strength of God, because of that ministry that Jesus had on that moment, everybody's standing there, and this is what I picture when I hear that they were all standing in awe, their mouths wide open, like, what just happened? That guy couldn't move any of his limbs, and he just walked out of here. That doesn't just doesn't happen. That's the presence we long for in worship. At least we should. The extra glimpse of God we crave, we want. We need to feel it. We need to sense it. We need to experience it. We need to taste it, and we need to touch it. And when we do, like the paralytic, we will forever be changed. And so here's my question to you, Faith Church. And it's to me too. Did you pray for that coming here this morning? Did you ask the Lord, will you touch me? Will you change me? Will you do something in me? Will you allow me to touch you, experience you in a new sense, in a new way? So here's the next question that it leads us to. What's needed in worship? What is needed in worship? If you could ask God for anything, what would it be? What we ask for says a lot about ourselves. Some people have that opportunity. Some people had that opportunity. Moses was one. Moses met with God and had the opportunity to ask him for anything in the universe. Moses did not ask for food or drink or gold or silver, prestige or riches. Moses had a desire for something far deeper, something higher, something beyond himself, something eternal, something spiritual. Moses had two request, and here's the first one, a hunger for God, a hunger for God. Here's what he says in Exodus chapter 33, verse 13. This is the Amplified Bible version, by the way, translation, so it may be a little different than yours. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you. Progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with you, perceiving and recognizing and understanding more strongly and clearly that I may find favor in your sight. Here's the difference between Moses and I'll be honest, me sometimes. Moses didn't just want to know God for more information so he could say, this is what I know about God. He wanted to know God so he could experience God. He wanted something far deeper than information. He wanted something far deeper than biblical knowledge. He wanted something far deeper than anything that we may ask for. His desire came from a heart of a worshiper that was saying, I want to go sign up with you for life. Not just a chapter of it, I want to walk into eternity with you. It was his way of saying, I want to become more progressively, more intimately acquainted with the living God. With the living God. Moses hungered for God. Moses longed for God. Moses realized that nothing else in the world could compare to the experience of being with God. Moses had a passion for his presence. I want to put the brakes on. Do you realize that you can experience God's grace without experiencing his presence? You can have an understanding that Jesus died for your sins and not even have an intimate relationship with him. You can know facts and figures and dates and times and still not really know the one who loved you first. You can run circles around people in Hebrew and Greek and know the Bible better than most and still not have a relationship with the author. What a shame to be saved and not really enter into the joy of knowing Christ. Sadly, people do it all the time. They fall short of it. They seek it in different ways. And Moses is a perfect example here, saying, listen, I could ask God for anything. I could have said, give me prestige, give me leadership skills, give me anything that I wanted. But in Exodus chapter 33, it's very clear, Moses wants none of it. What Moses wants more than anything is to be in the presence of God himself. And I wonder how many times we miss that. We come in here and it's ho-hum, another week, let's get through this so I can go on and I can complain and I can do this. Instead of actually saying, God, would you show up? God, would you touch my heart? God, would you maybe change my perspective? God, would you do a heart surgery on me? Would you begin to open my mind and see me and allow me to see you in a different light? Would you touch me in a powerful way? Our worship should hunger for God, but the second thing that Moses asked for is an encounter with God. Second, Moses asked, please let me see your glory in Exodus 33:18. The Hebrew word for glory is chabab, which means this: God's honor, renown, majesty, weight, and his visible splendor. The word glory used in this setting is closely related to presence and face. Moses wanted to behold God face to face. He wanted a visible encounter with the living God. He was not content with business as usual. He wanted God to show up in his life in a powerful way. Let's pause again. When you come to church, are you tired of business as usual? I am. Going through the motions? Showing up Sunday after Sunday for worship service and not having your soul stirred? Leaving the same way you came in? Don't you want God to show up in your life? We not only need to hunger for God, we need an encounter face to face with God. Because that will change us. Nothing else will. The encounter, this sense of God's supernatural presence, transforms worship from a duty to a devotion, from a ritual to a relationship, from just another meeting to a holy gathering. God's attendance in our lives and our experiences of Him is the essence of real worship. It's not just going through the motions. I'm playing a guitar here for a second. It's not just going through the motions. It's not just singing these certain songs. It's actually experiencing the Lord in the songs. And saying, Lord, how do I need you? Here I am to worship. Here I am to lay aside all that I've come in with and present it to you and lay it on the altar and say, Lord, here it is. I'm a mess. But guess what? When you're a mess, see, we often say to ourselves, well, I can't be like David, or I can't worship because I got all this stuff going on. Do you know something? I was just reading the Psalms this past week. David is like so clear on what's going on in his life. David's got stuff going on. Look, I'm gonna be frank with you for a second here. He's got ladies that he's doing things with that he shouldn't be doing, and he's still worshiping God over here. How does he do that? Because he comes with a repentant mind. Read Psalm 51. That's what it's all about. That's what's going on in his life at that moment. And he's saying, God, here it is. I'm a mess. I don't have everything together. I make decisions that I wish I could take back. But I'm going to worship you in spite of it. I'm going to present myself in spite of it. I'm going to give you everything I got, even if it is ugly. Ugly. And so the worship service, that's what it's about. You know, I hear people focusing on certain things, and I'm not going to mention any certain things, so if you're thinking, oh boy, he's going to go somewhere, don't think that, because I'm not going anywhere. I have no agenda this morning other than to get back to what worship really is. And the reality is that worship is this desire to see him face to face, and yet I hear when we talk about worship service, we talk about other things. I hear arguments about other things in worship service. How about we argue about how do we get God's presence back into worship service? How about we argue about how do we come in here ready for God to move? Somebody's got to move that this week. Ready for God to move. How about we come in here with a perspective that says, Lord, here I am. I may not like everything. I may not agree with everything. But here I am. I'm gonna put those things aside and I'm gonna present myself to you. That's what Moses is talking about. To come into worship and to be able to say, Lord, use me. Touch me. Show me. Do you want to know what one of my prayers has been recently? And it's only been over the last couple of weeks, and don't shoot me for that, but because God has been stirring in my heart. And it's dangerous to pray this, by the way. Lord, show me where I'm wrong. Show me where I'm holding on to traditions and not letting your spirit lead. Lord, show me. Break the pastor. Show me where I can grow. Give me a desire to follow you in all my things that I do. So that hospital visits aren't just hospital visits, but they're presence of God showing up in somebody's hospital room. So that worship service isn't just worship service. It's the presence of God showing up at Faith Church. So that preparing for a sermon isn't just preparing for a sermon and getting it done as quickly as possible so I can have more time to spend with my family. But it's actually looking at the scriptures and saying, Lord, what do you desire for those that will be sitting there on Sunday morning? So that I'm different. Because God's working through me. I'd ask you, would you be so gutsy to pray that prayer? To say, Lord, here I am. Show me where I'm missing your presence and I'm making it about something it's not. So that my life isn't just mundane going through the motions. But everything I do worships you. Do you know running on a treadmill, and I haven't done it in a while, at Planet Fitness can be worship? Yet I miss that. You know, growing grocery shopping, yes, even when you're stuck in the longest line and you wish that you weren't stuck in that line, can be worship. Do you know you can disagree in a God-honoring way through worship? See, worship is far more than Sunday morning. And when we make it about Sunday morning, we walk out of Sunday morning and we don't change our lives. we just continue to disagree, continue to do this, continue to do that, not caring, because we haven't experienced him. The last slide says this, and I want you to just think about this. Can you imagine if just half of us prayed for this to happen? Half of us in this room today. Can you imagine that if every week we spent Monday through Friday, Saturday, asking the Lord to show up in a powerful way in his presence to fill this room, and just look forward to Sunday morning saying, Lord, we need you. Just half of us. How about all of us? When you understand the great lengths of what your Lord and Savior did for you, and you all, I'm assuming, do, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you ask for the Lord to show up in a powerful way? When I understand how far I have fallen and how much grace has been a part of my life, there's nothing more I want to do than to worship him. It's when I get into this mindset that I somehow am owed this grace. I'm somehow one of the elite that I find myself struggling. And so when we look at what God did for us, why wouldn't we pray for his presence to show up? I can only think of one reason, and that is selfishness. I'm afraid that if God shows up, it may not look like what I want it to look like. God may ask me to do that thing that I don't want to do in worship. God may ask me to get out of my comfort zone. Oh. It's the chance you take. Maybe he'll give you a new comfort zone. Maybe he'll change your life. So let me end with these words. And I'm going to say some things. I'm just going to say it. Worship is not about contemporary versus traditional. Worship is not about using this kind of instrument or that kind of instrument. Worship is about God's presence. And if you think God's presence is going to be held back by an instrument or by something else, you don't worship the God of the heavens. If God's presence wants to show up and we desire it, which I know he does, it's going to happen. It's not about what we do. It's about what we long for. That's the difference. So many articles, so many books written on how you do it and what you do. I've yet to find a book other than the Bible, which is the good book, about what you long for in worship. Do you long for his presence, even if it changes who you are? Do you long for his presence, even if it makes you feel a tiny bit uncomfortable? Do you long for his presence? I hope you do. I hope throughout the week, because you don't have to wait until Sunday. I hope tomorrow morning you ask him for his powerful presence. Watch how it changes your work site. Watch how it changes your family. Watch how it changes your life when his presence comes into it. He'll do it for you. All you have to do is ask him. Lord, would you show up in a powerful way in my life today? Would you show up and do a wonderful work in me? Let's close in a word of prayer together. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, for the worship of Faith Church. I'm thankful for the ways that we mix in different things. But Lord, I'm also very cognizant this morning of the fact that it's not about the worship service, it's not about the order of worship, it's not about what songs we sing, it's about your presence being in our hearts and lives. And Lord, that's my desire. That our worship services here at Faith Church, that worship would become a place where you show up. And yes, Lord, it may make me feel uncomfortable. It may make me stretch. But that's okay. It's part of becoming a better disciple of yours. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us all to go out of here today, not just the same as we walk out every other Sunday. That we would walk out with a heart towards you, asking for your presence to minister in our hearts and lives. And Lord, I look forward to a week where it won't just be mundane ministry, going through the motions. But each and every person in this room will experience you in a powerful way. I've already begun to pray for that. Starting this afternoon, may you move in their hearts and lives. May you allow them to experience worship at its best. For Lord, it's in your name we pray this all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope it encouraged you in your walk with Christ. You can find out more about Faith Church at wearefaithec.com.